It means the price which is deficient. And he's talking about, and there's stars in these constellations that talk about sin and everything. So the price was deficient. And so, and then on the other side of the scales, the meaning of that star is the price which covers, which sin, no matter what man could do, it's not going to be right. able to pay the price.
Not
so
enough.
The scale, but Jesus is going to be the price that covers.
Thank you for joining us today for the Wealth Builders Podcast. Can I tell you that this podcast will not disappoint? And the reason for that is I have got my amazing friend Mike Davis back with us. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I just love every time being with you and speaking to the people of Wealth Builders. It's awesome.
You are a blessing. And of course, Mike is a pastor. And I was just sharing with him before we went live that his podcast on the stars is one of our highest ranking podcasts of all time.
Wow, praise God.
Yeah, so that told me, well, of course, it was amazing. I'm sitting here listening to you and I was like, Mike, I've never heard this before. But it's really helping people to connect with this idea of the stars and even connect, mm-hmm. like how could people that didn't have a written Bible in the yes. Old Testament even know about God.
That's so true.
And when I was in Africa, and many of you listening and watching are from Africa, they were just mentioning this to me, that it really helped them a lot. So we're going to continue a bit
good
on that theme. And I asked Mike, you know, hey, do you have enough to talk about with this? He's like, you're gonna have to cut me off. I have so much to talk about.
Yes.
So Mike, hey, take it away. Bring us into the connection for people that haven't watched that last podcast. Just give them a little base of understanding.
Okay. Well, first of all, there's over 400 billion stars. And in the 1990s, they said there were over 200 billion galaxies. And by 2016, the Hubble telescope, they said there are 2 trillion galaxies. That's a lot of stars. That's a lot of creation. And it keeps expanding. It keeps growing. Mm-hmm. So I'll just give a couple of scriptures for a recap. In Genesis 1:14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons for the days and years. So signs, the Hebrew word there is oath, and it means a sense of appearing, a signal, or omen. So it says there's stars in the sky that God put there for a sense of appearing, and it's going to be a signal. God's signaling us about something. And then the word seasons there, it's not winter, spring, summer, and fall. That word is moed in Hebrew, and it means that appointments.
Appointments.
It means appointments. So God's saying, look at the stars because I'm going to give you an appointment. And so there are so many things about that. I don't think I said that in the first one.
I don't think so either.
But in it, kind of interesting that God said, Adam, you name all of the animals. But when it came to stars, Psalms 147 verse 4, it says, he counts the number of stars and he calls them all by name.
So God does that.
God does that for a specific reason. We're going to see in this teaching that all of the stars have a specific meaning.
Oh my goodness.
And they tell a story. So he didn't allow Adam to do that or anybody do that. He took care of that. And of course, you know, unfortunately throughout the centuries, you know, man has changed them and tweaked this and tweaked that. But you can, because of the internet, you can go back to, there are some tablets 4,700 years ago they found with names of some of the stars on them and everything. So it's been really interesting.
You know, Mike, if I can just comment and then I have a question for you. You know, it's really an example of something that the world has taken and twisted.
Very much.
And so the astrology and all of that. So this is just so encouraging because you're pointing it back to, no, God's intent for the stars
yes.
is not what we're seeing, this new age astrology. And then I'm really curious about these appointments. I'm sure many of you are too. Like, how do I get an appointment with God through the stars? So are you going to be unpacking that for us today?
Well, this is the thing. The devil has, like you said, he's really attacked the gospel in the stars and the story about the stars by making it, you know, astrology, and that people, they get married and live their life according to the stars. And that's not what God had intended all along.
Yeah.
His is, I've got a message to tell you, the good news, the gospel. And so I believe that's why the devil has, like you said, he has really, really, and especially in the last 50 to 100 years, mm-hmm. he's really attacked this, that he does not want anybody to know that God has a message in the stars. He's trying to say, I've got a message for you in the stars.
Kind of trying to steal it.
He really is.
That's all he does,
really is
steal it.
And so this is why I think it's good to talk about this, because to bring it around to say, no, the stars, this was God's plan.
Yes.
And he is the one who started this, not Satan. So,
that's great.
But anyway, of course, we talked about when God told Abram to go out and count the stars. It wasn't 1, 2, 3. It was to say that there's a message. There is a message in the stars. And so I believe this. And after he saw them as, and this is just my speculation, but there are 12 constellations, Karen, but there's three, they call them side constellation to every constellation. So that brings it up to 48 constellations.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And I've got 32 pages of notes on all 48, but we're not going to go through there. But my point is this, they each help tell the story of the main constellation, mm-hmm. those three side ones. And so I just believe that God wanted everybody to really get a hold of this. So when God was talking to Abraham, I don't think that was a 15 or 30 minute conversation. When if there's 48 constellations all together that tell this, that may have been a day or all-nighter or a week-long story that he was saying. So anyway, in Galatians 3:8, it says that the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, he preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "And you, all the nations, shall be blessed." So he preached this to Abraham, and there's a lot to unpack.
There is one question that just comes to mind, is we know that all the blessings are in and through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had not come to the earth yet.
Right.
So was this something where when God revealed Jesus, the gospel to Abraham, he received it?
Yes. Because if you study, I study righteousness. There is only one way to be righteous.
Right.
There isn't, you can't believe God for a promise like Abraham. People say, oh, he believed God that he was going to have a child, so therefore he was righteous. No, according to the New Testament, the only way to be righteous is through Jesus and believing upon him.
And he's earth, the father of faith.
He is.
And so he had faith in Jesus.
He did.
From what was revealed to him through what you're sharing.
Yes.
That is so cool.
Doesn't
it answer a lot of questions?
It really does. And how, you know, David said, you know, we need to be bold as a lion. You know, righteousness, people who are righteous, they can be bold as a lion.
Yes.
Well, how come? Because they are in right standing with Almighty God. They are just like Jesus as far as their relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did Abraham have that kind of knowledge? I don't know, but he had to have some kind of knowledge as far as being righteous, because who negotiates with God?
Right. And when you think about it, it was God himself that walked through in the sacrifice,
yes,
right?
Yes. And so it's just really interesting. So a lot of times we think the people in the Old Testament, they didn't have a clue. And I'm sure they didn't know everything that we did, but at the same time, I believe they had a more grasp of the gospel of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what people think. They probably think, oh, they really didn't have. No, even David, he said that all of my sins, I mean, who could stand if they're all recorded? That sounds a lot like a righteous person talking.
Yes.
Because under the old covenant, if you sin, everybody knew, hey, it's marked down. I mean, and they were so sin conscious. Even the disciples, when they saw mm-hmm. the man that was a crippled or blind, they said, who sinned, him or his parents? So their sin was so wrapped in their culture. It was all about sin. Well, there were some people that were wrapped in righteousness, even under the old covenant. There
were
so many people. So that's pretty awesome.
That's so awesome.
And we talked about in Psalms 19 that especially the Passion Translation, it talks about that space itself tells the story of the gospel. And this is another thing in the natural. In 1928, during that time, decades around there, they found 8 synagogues, tabernacles, that the archaeologists found that there is a mosaic floor in these tabernacles. And the mosaic floor, I don't know if people will be able to see this on that, is the constellations.
Oh, wow.
And it's rated to go back in the 5th and 6th century.
Oh.
That's how old this is. And so when people think, well, did they really know about this? This is from the 5th and 6th century. And there's 8 tabernacles that they discovered. But there's many tablets, there's paintings on walls throughout. When I studied this, man, you can get really deep into this stuff. But when I studied this, they found paintings around the world of the constellations. And so it's just really, really neat. And if you're a reader of Josephus, he's a historian. He wrote about the constellations. And he wrote about, you know, there's 12 tribes, 12 months, 12 constellations, 12 gemstones on the breastplate of the high priest.
Yes.
And the Bible talks in Revelation about 12 gates, 12 foundations. So you sit there and go, man, there's a lot of 12s going on.
There sure is.
There's a lot of 12s. And, you know, in Genesis chapter 37, it talks about Joseph when he had his dream. And he told his brothers and his mother and father, actually, he said, I saw the moon and the sun and the 11 stars bowing down to me. Now, this is a little stretch, so I'm not saying this is gospel. This is just something that's interesting. Everybody follow me on this? I believe that those 12 sons, first of all, there's 12 major constellations, mm-hmm. there's 12 sons, 12 tribes of Judah. I believe that those 12 sons, they knew about the constellations. First of all, it was passed down from Abraham. So I believe they knew about it. And when he said, I saw the 11 stars bow down to me, they knew that each one of those sons represented a constellation.
Oh my goodness.
And so and I'll tell you why. There's some things that you have to piece it together. When the tribes received blessings under the hands of their father, Jacob. And many years later by Moses, and many references were made to the zodiac constellations. For example, there were the 4 main brothers. They were related to 4 major constellations, the north, south, east, and the west. And the breastplate of even the high priest, it had 12 stones. And they said each one of those stones represented the 12 tribes. Mm-hmm. But they also represented the 12 constellations. And so it's just amazing.
So connected.
It is. Everything's so connected. And let me just say this. Reuben is compared to a man carrying water. Judah, when Jacob blessed him. Mm-hmm. And so you can tie these blessings to what the constellations mean. This is why I believe that they all knew that they were part of the constellations. And one theologian said this, Karen, that, you know, the 12 tribes, when they traveled, they had their own banners.
Mm-hmm.
Those banners, the lion of the tribe of Judah,
that was their banner.
That was their banner. And they believed that each tribe had their own constellation banner.
So it was like, it was their branding.
Yeah.
Their logo.
It was the first branding. Yeah, good luck for advertising.
Marketing.
Yes, marketing was way before this. But anyway, I won't get into all of them, but I just wanted to mention some of the neat things about the constellation.
It lays such a great foundation that there's all these connections out there.
Yes. And so Virgo is the virgin holding wheat in her left hand and a branch in her right hand. The star, remember God named the stars. The star in their left hand, its name is Spica, which in Latin and Hebrew means the promised seed, the seed of the one who comes.
Oh, in the hand of the virgin.
In the hand of the virgin. Oh. And so like I said, there's 3 side constellations to each major constellation. So it helps tell the story of the major constellation. But even the stars in particular, I mean, it's fascinating. And you have to go back. You can't just get the names of the stars in the last 100 years. You have to go back to old star charts so you can find out some of the original names.
Yeah.
But they are specifically tell you about the redemption story.
So cool.
And this is why Abraham, he didn't just know, oh, Jesus was coming. No, yeah. He knew that we have a mighty conqueror who's doing great things for us. And that's my Redeemer. That is my Redeemer. So the star on her left hand was Spica, and the star on her shoulder is named, I'm going to butcher these. So if you look these up, I'm going to say it, Zatbabekela. It's nowhere close, which means the beautiful Lord. Beautiful Lord. And the star in her right hand holding the branch is Vindermatrix, which means the shoot, the sun, the branch which comes.
Oh my God.
The branch
goodness.
Which comes. Yes. And so all of these stars, I can't get into all of them, but the three, I do want to mention the three side constellations to the Virgin because it's very significant. One of them is called Coma. It's a woman who's holding a baby. She's holding a baby, and it contains a star called Coma, conveniently positioned upon the baby. This star means the desired one.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's even the Egyptian. And then this is the thing. Before the Tower of Babel, everybody spoke the same language. So they had all of this. Mm-hmm. And then when they broke up to their own languages, you can see this in Egyptian language, Roman, all of these Babylonian. And there are different words, but they all mean the same thing, like virgin. They mean
verbal.
They all points back to where they knew what the constellations meant.
Oh, wow.
And they found, this isn't just my hearsay, there's paintings in caves all around the world that signify this. And so then the second constellation that is wrapped around Virgo's Butes, and it means the coming one. It means the shepherd, he comes, the branch trodden underfoot, the pierced one.
Oh.
So even God was telling them in these constellations that Jesus was going to be crucified, he was going to be pierced. I mean, they knew a lot of detail just because of the names of the stars and the names of the constellation. Centaurus was this one of the constellations wrapped around Virgo, and of course, it was half horse and half human. So which it means that the coming Messiah. Well, let me just back up. What was a pregnant or a woman with a child doing in the constellation of Virgo? That's just a thought.
Because it's a virgin.
It's going to be a virgin that's going to be having this child. That was what God was telling Abraham. So I wanted to make sure I got that in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Centaurus was half man and half horse, which meant that it was dual nature. And so Jesus came 100% man, 100% God. This was a type or symbolism of that. Then the second constellation is Libra. And it is scales, weighing. And one star is called, you know what, I'm not even going to try to mention. It means the price which is deficient. And he's talking about, and there's stars in these constellations that talk about sin and everything. Mm-hmm. So the price was deficient. And so, and then on the other side of the scales, the meaning of that star is the price which covers, which sin, no matter what man could do, it's not going to be able to pay the price.
Not
so the
enough.
Scale, but Jesus is going to be the price that covers. And the Southern Cross, this constellation reveals the price was paid by the seed of the woman in order to redeem mankind. And so there's so many fascinating mm-hmm. stories. And you know what? We are already running out of time. I'm going to jump down all the way. Let me just say this. And the 10th one, in Acts, there's two of the stars that you can read in Acts chapter 28, verse 11.
Okay.
It's the constellation Gemini. And there's two stars. And if you read it in the Amplified version, mm-hmm. Acts 28, 11, it talks about the ship that Paul was on and he was traveling. And it said it had Castor and Pollux was the names that were the two heads of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's talking about Gemini. They even knew about the constellations. But see, if you know about it, they didn't make a big deal. But that's in Acts 28:11. Look it up. In the Amplified Version, it talks about those two stars, Castor and Pollux. It's actually named in there. And so I'm going to jump down to the main one. The last one is Leo the Lion. And it depicts the great lion. And it actually, he's pictured in the heavens pouncing on its prey, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And Hydra is one of the side constellations to Leo, and it helps tell the story of Leo. It's the many-headed serpent. It's a huge constellation extending approximately one-third the distance around the circle of the heavens, reminding us that Satan's tail drew one-third of the stars from heaven, Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. If you look at this, well, I'll just read it. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. And a third of the stars, there's actually a constellation that's wrapped around in the known part of heaven that you can see that wraps around a third of the stars. And he threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour the child as soon as it was born. I don't have time to unpack that, but that is talking about a constellation, several constellations. It's in Revelation.
My
it's amazing.
Goodness.
So
amazing.
Crater. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't have time to go into this, so I'm going to make the main point. And this is the main point. This is great information. It's great. It's so interesting. I spend hours looking
it's
at this stuff.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating. And but this is the bottom line. As Paul Harvey would say, this is the rest of the story.
Yes. I used to listen to him, too.
I did. I love that guy. But this is the thing that I believe. You know, we say that God never changes, that God is always good. And I always thought, thank God I was never underneath the old covenant, and I'm still thankful.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they had over 600 laws they had to keep, and you know, all of the sacrifices, and if you sin, you fail, or whatever. But the goodness of God, Karen.
Yes.
I believe he let people know the gospel message, as Paul said in Galatians, to know that, listen, you're under the old covenant, you're under the law, but I'm going to pull back a curtain into the new covenant for you, that if you believe this, it's going to be counted to you for righteousness, mm-hmm. and you can tap into this. And if you do believe this, you're going to have the favor of God. You're going to be the righteousness of God. You're going to have the whatever you touch, it's going to prosperity is going to be in your well. David said this: wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. Old covenant guy talking, but that's new covenant language.
He knew.
He knew. He knew about being righteous. God was so good, Karen, that he, even under the old covenant, he said, you're under the old covenant, but I'm going to let you pull back the curtain
yes.
and reach into the future so that you can walk in prosperity. You can walk in health. You can walk in the favor of God. I mean, David, I think we said this in the last podcast, that he should have been stoned.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
He
Why
wasn't
he? He didn't even lose his kingship. Why? Because he knew the righteousness of God looked beyond his sin. Not that he condoned it, mm-hmm. but that God was saying, you know, I've got the Redeemer to cover this mm-hmm. for you. And I believe David had some kind of knowledge in all
too.
Of that. Now, based upon that, you bring this over to us and to the day in which we live. If God is willing mm-hmm. to help them to find the favor of God, under the old covenant, the blessings of God, the
yes.
goodness of God, the wealth and riches.
Despite their actions.
Yes, despite their sin and even all of the things they had to put up with. And they didn't have the Holy Ghost living inside of them like we do. In spite of all that, how much more, Karen, will God yes. help us and guide us and direct us that before the foundation of the earth, before he even made man, he made the constellations. He made the gospel and the stars, how much more will he help guide us? How much more
good.
We help find our way in walking in the favor of God and having the blessings
so
of
good.
God. And so I just thought, if God wanted that for them under the old covenant.
And he made a way for them.
He did.
But this is what was jumping out to me when you were saying that, Mike, is that they, like, let's just use Abraham. He saw it and it was based on a promise.
Yes.
Of God, There was nothing. There was no evidence of Jesus on the earth.
No, hadn't happened yet.
Hadn't happened. But he saw this promise and he said, okay, in faith, I'm going to receive that promise. Well, then the Bible says that all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus.
Yes.
Right? But our part is to agree with that and say amen.
Amen.
So I just had this thought because when we talk to people with real estate, we go through this, right? So even let's say your business is, you have a promise and you're not seeing it. Let's say that your real estate, you have a promise or your kids and you're not seeing it. I have never thought of it the way until you described this, that what we're doing is like what Abraham did. Like, okay, I see that promise. I see that promise that all my needs are met. I see that promise you'll never leave or forsake me. So we kind of open up that curtain today.
That's
and based
good,
on
Karen.
Jesus.
That is so good.
We say yes.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, Abraham, he received the promise.
He did. And that's what the Bible calls him, the father of faith. And we think it, it's because he believed he was going to have a son. I believe he's the father of faith because he believed in Jesus. He's going
agree.
To be our Redeemer and he's our father. And if he's our father, to me, it's got to be linked to Jesus.
I agree.
It's got to be linked to
and
Jesus.
And he had no evidence
None.
Of that. He didn't have a Bible like we have to go
No.
and read all this. Mike, this is profound. I really think that this is a pathway for us like to hear like, hey, this, I like a pathway. I want practical things. That's where I'm at today to help me connect my trust in faith with what I know God has spoken. I know a lot of you listening, because I talk to you, have that same like, hey, how do we do this in this area of wealth building? And I really think what you described is going to help us to receive those promises, even though we don't see it in maybe our financials. We maybe don't see it in our bank account. We don't have a deal and we want to get a deal. Whatever that is, this is profound, Mike.
That's good stuff. God's helping
wow.
us. Faith is just like a title deed. You may not see it, but I've got the deed for it.
Yeah. And that he had it from the beginning of time for people.
Praise God.
Wow. Praise God. This has been amazing. Mike, thank you so much. And thanks all of you for being part of the Wealth Builders family and for tuning in. Make it a great rest of the day.